This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the new Prologue EV, there's a lot that could impress you about it. There's the class-leading passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
Along with home team Brandon Leak, I'm Gabe Neitzel in for Amber and Ian tonight on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. In honor of the 10th anniversary of Stuart Scott's unforgettable ESPYs speech, all donations to the V Foundation now through the ESPYs will support the Stuart Scott Memorial Cancer Research Fund. You can support Stuart's legacy, V.org/Stuart. That's V.org/STUART. 100% of your donation goes to cancer research. So that is something that we are certainly going to be continuing to talk about throughout the course of the show tonight here on Amber and Ian. But we're also getting closer and closer to the Olympics. And earlier this week, home team, Team USA had somebody step aside in Kawhi Leonard. He had been there throughout their camp. He had been dealing with a knee injury dating back to the Clippers' end of their season, missed 12 of 14 games, was limited in the postseason, in the very short postseason run that the Clippers had because of that knee injury, and ultimately he decided that he was, you know, not going to be ready to play. Well, Grant Hill, Team USA managing director, told everybody today during a press conference just why Team USA was pivoting away from Kawhi Leonard.
We just felt that we had to pivot, and not to get into the particulars, you know, in terms of what went into the decision, but, you know, we just felt it was in our best interest, but also in the Clippers and in Kawhi's best interest to move into a different direction. And, you know, we tried. You know, I think we all tried, and we gave it, you know, a valiant effort, and, you know, unfortunately, we have to move forward.
This made all the sense in the world to me. It made sense to me that Kawhi would give this a go because he hasn't represented Team USA, clearly something that he wanted to try to do. But ultimately, it makes sense that he wants to be healthy for the season when, you know, training camp kicks up in October. So that home team I follow. I can make that make sense. The replacements is a little harder for me to make sense because Jaylen Brown is somebody that we have talked about ad nauseum throughout the course of the Celtics run through the postseason, even dating back to the end of the regular season. Oh, could this guy be an All-NBA guy? Oh, did he get snubbed because he wasn't third-team All-NBA? He goes out, he's the Eastern Conference Finals MVP, the NBA Finals MVP, was such a big part, and as the running mate. Now, you know, when you talk about the Celtics, yes, they have all this depth, and that's great, but also Tatum and Brown. Is Brown the best player on the Celtics? Was a conversation we had here on ESPN Radio throughout the course of that run by the Celtics. How did he get passed over for his own teammate in Derrick White?
You can justify anything you want to, Gabe, by looking at what you have, what you don't have, and what you need. You could justify and say, do you need another guard when you have Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Anthony Edwards, Drew Holiday? You could say, no, you need a guy who maybe needs to do a little something different than maybe all of those guys do. Now, obviously, Derrick White is a two-way player and a spot-up shooter, but I don't buy it because what can Derrick White do that Jaylen Brown cannot do? He's a two-way player as well. He's a guy who could be a spot-up shooter. He's a guy who could play lights-out defense if you want to. He's a guy, he's 6'6", so if you want to talk about taking a guy who's a little bit taller, there you go. So, you know, I don't want to go against what Team USA has put together. They certainly want to assemble a roster that has as few weaknesses as possible, because the truth is, look, the world has caught up, and you never know which opponent in the Olympics might be on a heater and things might get a little bit tight. So I can understand you putting together the very best team you absolutely can with the fewest weaknesses. That being said, it's hard for me to believe, because Derrick White, for as great as he is, as important as he was to that Celtics championship run, anything he can do, Jaylen Brown can do, and probably can do a little bit better.
Well, Grant Hill was asked why they didn't go with Jaylen Brown when they decided to go away from Kawhi Leonard, and here's what Hill had to say about that.
You got 12 spots, and you have to build a team. And one of the hardest things is leaving people off the roster that I'm a fan of, that I look forward to watching throughout the season, throughout the playoffs. Guys who've been finals MVPs, guys who've been a part of the program, guys who've won gold medals, guys who I respect, admire, and enjoy watching. But the responsibility that I have is to put together a team, and a team that complements each other, a team that fits, a team that will give us the best opportunity for success. And so, you know, whatever theories that might be out there, you know, they're just that.
Well, the theory I think he's referencing there is one that's been floated on social media, and the fact that he kind of even backhandedly addressed it there, I think, is worth noting, home team. And that's Jaylen Brown's not a Nike athlete. In fact, Jaylen Brown is a shoe free agent. Hasn't had a shoe deal in 3 years. When he first came into the league, he was an Adidas guy. Has on social media a couple of times spoken out against Nike. And Nike is the team uniform supplier for Team USA basketball. So there seemed to be a thought, and Jaylen Brown on Twitter, on social media, put this out there as well, kind of maybe insinuating that Nike had something to do with him not making the team because of the Nike influence over Team USA. Do you subscribe to that theory? Is that something you can make sense in your head?
See, this is where I don't like social media. When athletes have the platform, Gabe, and then they talk in code or they throw things out and they don't have follow-up. This is a perfect time, if that is true or Jaylen Brown knows or has heard something, to clarify any of the rumors, conjecture, or innuendo. I'm going to have a hard time believing that a Nike great wizard of Oz is going to trump what Steve Kerr or what Mark Few or what Grant Hill needs on a basketball court in an Olympic situation in order to bring home a gold medal. Doesn't mean that there's nothing to it, but it's hard for me to believe if there's no follow-up. So, you know, because Jaylen Brown has said some things that have been, you know, on the record, outspoken against Nike about some things he feels they should be doing, it does leave it out there for fodder, and we are all for fodder on social media. But it's hard for me to swallow that one. It goes to another narrative of there's just always something with Jaylen Brown for whatever reason. It was the, does he really get along with Jason Tatum towards the back end of the postseason run? Do people really like him? Is he too cerebral, or some of that stuff that was going on? Just the, why isn't he just a solid basketball player? Why isn't he a solid two-way player? Why isn't he just viewed as an NBA champion and viewed as the finals MVP, and that'd be good enough to put him on Team USA? That's what I am more concerned with, other than the conjecture that could be or could not be conspiracy theory realm.
I guess I just would have preferred for Grant Hill to not even address that and be more specific as to why he took Derek White. And you can do that, I think, home team, in a way that doesn't put Jaylen Brown down. And looking at what they did last night in their exhibition game against Team Canada, who's expected to be one of the challengers for the gold medal for Team USA, and they shut him down. And to a man, after the game, anybody who talked about how great their defensive effort was, and if they play defense like that during the Olympics, they are going to be incredibly tough to beat. So it seems like Kerr, Few, and the coaching staff are really leaning towards, hey, we have to have this defensive identity, especially early, as they figure out what they want to do offensively and try to become more efficient offensively for that 6-game run in the Olympics. And I think you can make a case of, okay, if we want to have this defensive identity, even though Jaylen Brown is a very good defender, Derek White's been second team All-NBA defense the last couple of years. So I think you could have just easily gone, hey, as much as we love Jaylen Brown, we want to lean towards defense. We think that this guy, because he's done the X, Y, and Z, is really going to help out our defensive ideas, our defensive identity, and that's why we went with Derek White. Instead, he just kind of went, oh, we have to build a team. We have to do, he was just too generic, and I think if you're more specific, it can shut down the rumors of, oh, he's there, he's not there, Jaylen Brown, because he's not a Nike athlete.
The issue with that was twofold. One, it was Jaylen Brown who took to social media. So he threw it out there and threw the Nike conversation out there. The other issue is that half the team has a defensive identity. Bam Adebayo is known as playing defense. You know, Anthony Davis is known for playing defense. Joel Embiid and Anthony Edwards known for their defense. You can throw in LeBron James, even though he's coming up on, you know, his last few years as an NBA player, still known for defense, and Jason Tatum. So half the team has a defensive identity. Jaylen Brown also has a defensive identity. So the only thing tactically that I can think of is the three-point line is closer in Olympic play than it is in the NBA. So maybe the equalizing factor of, you know, it really is close. And if we do need to have Derek White as more of a fit, maybe the closer three-point line makes him enough of a sell to get it over to everybody. But I think the bigger point is it really hasn't been totally addressed. I believe Grant Hill. I just don't understand the why nobody is viewing Jaylen Brown how I think he should be viewed, as one of the best players, one of the best defensive players, and one of the best two-way players in the NBA. And if that's the case, he should be considered better than Derrick Brown and should be on Team USA.
He's home team Brandon Leak. I'm Gabe Knight. So we're in for Amber and Ian here on ESPN Radio. And a reminder, in the 10th anniversary of Stuart Scott's unforgettable ESPYs speech, all donations to the V Foundation now through the ESPYs support the Stuart Scott Memorial Cancer Research Fund. V.org/Stuart is the site you can go to donate, and 100% of your donation goes to cancer research. Coming up, there has been another court ruling in the land of college football and student athletes. We dive into the complexities of that next. Amber and Ian, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7 foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fade away jumper from the left wing, hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Gabe Neitzel, home team Brandon Leak in for Amber and Ian tonight. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. And today, always a special day at ESPN, ESPYs Day, which means here on ESPN Radio, we are supporting the V Foundation. And in honor of the 10th anniversary of Stuart Scott's unforgettable ESPY speech, all donations to the V Foundation now through the ESPYs will support the Stuart Scott Memorial Cancer Research Fund. You can support Stuart's legacy at v.org/Stuart. 100% of your donation goes to cancer research. Meanwhile, the NCAA has taken another hit as they are trying to fight this idea that amateurism still exists, even though I think the rest of us at this point, home team, know that it's just really fictitious when it comes to the NCAA. But they're holding on for dear life. But they may qualify as employees deserving of pay under federal wage and hour laws. That is according to a U.S. appeals court. They ruled that Thursday in a setback to the NCAA. Now, it gets confusing because there are a lot of lawsuits out there, and the NCAA trying to have some of these set aside, some of them thrown out. They're challenging some. And oh, by the way, they're also putting together this huge package that would back pay some former college athletes, student athletes, and have a plan in place to pay student athletes going forward. So while this does on the surface, yes, it is a hit to the NCAA, I don't know if it will or not ultimately affect the plan that they have been trying to push through of, hey, we're going to put aside $2.8 billion and start paying these athletes directly from the universities and trying to get a rein in on what college athletics is and will be when it comes to money and student athletes getting paid.
Well, it really is too bad because, you know, college football has become a great business. And sometimes one of the unintended consequences of really successful businesses and businesses that generate a lot of revenue is that you don't really look out and weigh all of the revenues that are supposed to go to the people who help prop it up. And, you know, now you start getting into philosophies and what college is and if people are supposed to be getting a paycheck when they are already wooed by a scholarship to come and get an education. Now you get into philosophies. One thing I'm not going to do, I'm not going to blame the players. Don't blame Jimmy 4440. Don't blame Tommy Bench Press. Don't blame, you know, Willie Quick Twitch. Don't blame the kids. And that's where a lot of this is starting to be pointed sometimes in these conversations where people are angry and upset and looking at these young guys and young ladies as people who are money grubbers with their hands out. No, they are a part of a machine, of a business, and it's too bad because those who are running a successful business should have seen this coming and put some things in order years ago. But now we are where we are, and the truth of the matter is they already have been getting paid. You go back a decade, go back to the 90s, go back to the 80s, go back to the 70s or 60s, the $300, the $500, the $6,000, $10,000 handshakes, the bags of money stories. Those are real things. So they were already getting paid. Now it can be done above board. How do you make it a sustainable situation where college football as a whole can benefit and young players can benefit? I think one of the unintended consequences of maybe turning them into employees is that some schools will have to drop football or drop other sports because they won't be able to afford to do it.
100%. That is what this is going to lead to. And I'm a former Division III baseball athlete home team, mm-hmm. and I hope that they can find a way to keep some of those non-revenue, the Olympic sports around. I have no idea if they will or not. And honestly, like, yeah, I don't blame the athletes. They're just following the leaders of these universities, the leaders of their team. Because if you think that these student athletes are being the ones who are money grubbing and going after the buck, I mean, what do you think you're seeing in college? I mean, coaches are going from spot to spot because they're getting offered more money at a different university. So they're making the jump. The college football playoff isn't expanding to 12 teams from 4. Heck, it doesn't even exist if not for all of the money that is going to be going to these universities for playing in these games. All these decisions from the top have already been all about money. So we cannot be surprised then when the student athletes, which could be a term that's going away soon, also then try to make decisions on money and enter the transfer portal and try to go to school A or school B based on their NIL offer. And because the NCAA just decided to put their head in the sand and not be proactive in the slightest, it became the Wild West and there's no rules. And it's what's led to the transfer portal. It's led to NIL and money going directly to athletes and the NCAA having no control over this. But at the same time, as much as some people want to believe this is all ruining college athletics, when you take a look at college football and college basketball, especially women's college basketball, we're watching it more than we ever have. So I don't want to hear the argument that this is ruining college athletics. Now, it may be ruin for the rowing team of your favorite university, maybe a baseball team here or there, softball, all these other sports that are going to be non-revenue. I hope they can find a way to continue to do that. And, oh, by the way, they're probably feeling other effects at the university because some of this money that they had previously that they didn't have to pay the athletes with, That money has to come from somewhere, right? The money that you're using to pay athletes is coming out of somebody else's budget. Maybe that affects the university elsewhere. But this is a long time coming because the numbers could only get so high in terms of what you're getting for the NCAA tournament, for the college football playoff, before athletes and other people who are making these games possible were going to come to ask for a piece of the pie.
Well, you know what? Maybe there becomes a caste system. You know, you as a D3 baseball player, maybe the D2 football player, and then the D1 college football player, they're on different tiers in a caste system where some guys may get just a little bit, some guys may get a little bit more, and some guys may get a whole bunch. I mean, there's a difference between Target and Macy's and Saks Fifth Avenue, and there's a difference in what those employees get paid. I just don't like the brainlessness part of it. Don't tell me when conferences are getting $850 million and coaches are getting $100 million, schools are getting $51 million, you can't find a way to make things work. Yes, you can.
Yeah, they absolutely can. And I guess at the Division III level, being an athlete who went through it, at the D3 level, I'm not getting a scholarship anyway, right? Like, I'm doing it, and I had to raise money so we could go on our spring training, our spring break trip to start off our year here in the state of Wisconsin. So I guess at the D3 level, I'm not as worried about it, but that there could be programs at the Division I level that are cut because they just simply can't afford it anymore. Coming up next, it has been more than three decades since we heard one of the most impactful speeches of all time. You know what one we're talking about. It comes up every time this year. We're listening to it next on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio.
Number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day.
This is ESPY Day at ESPN. If you're able, please join us today in supporting the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Go to V.org/donate now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod.
It's Amber and Ian. Here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, he is Gabe Neitzel. I am home team Brandon Leak, and it is ESPY Day, and in honor of the 10th anniversary of Stuart Scott's unforgettable ESPY speech, all donations to the V Foundation now through the ESPYs will support the Stuart Scott Memorial Cancer Research Fund, and you can help support Stuart's legacy at v.org/Stuart. 100% of your donation goes to cancer research. We get a chance now to take you back 31 years ago when Coach Jim Valvano, Jimmy V, stood on a stage and gave the world one of the most impactful speeches ever. Here's Jimmy V at the 1993 ESPYs.
I can't
tell you what an honor it is to even be mentioned in the same breath with an Arthur Ashe. This is something I certainly will treasure forever. But as was said on the tape, I don't have one of those things going with the cue cards, so I'm going to speak longer than anybody else has spoken tonight. That's the way it goes. Time is very precious to me. I don't know how much I have left, and I have some things that I would like to say. Hopefully, at the end, I'll have something that will be important to other people, too. But I can't help it. Now, when I'm fighting cancer, everybody knows that. And people ask me all the time about how you go through your life and how's your day. And nothing has changed for me, as Dick said. I'm a very emotional, passionate man. I can't help it. That's being the son of Rocco and Angelina Valvano. That just comes with the territory, right? We hug, we kiss, we love. And when people say to me, how do you get through life or each day, it's the same thing. To me, there are three things we all should do every day. If we do this every day of our life, you're going to have, what a wonderful, number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day. You do that 7 days a week, you're going to have something special. And so I can't help. I rode on the plane up today with Mike Krzyzewski, my good friend and a wonderful coach, but people don't realize he's a 10 times better person than he is a coach. And we know he's a great coach. He's meant a lot to me in these last 5 or 6 months of my battle. But when I look at Mike, I think we competed against each other as players. I coached against him for 15 years. And I always have to think about what's important in life is to think to me of three things: where you started, where you are, and where you're going to be. Those are the three things that I try and do every day. And you know, when I think about getting up and giving a speech, I can't help it. I have to remember the first speech I ever gave. I was coaching at Rutgers University. That was my first job. Wonderful. And I was the freshman coach. That's when freshmen played on freshman teams. And I was so fired up about my first job. I see Lou Holtz, Coach Holtz here. What was it like the first job you had, right? The very first time you stood in the locker room to give a pep talk. That's a special place, the locker room, for a coach to give a talk. So my idol as a coach was Vince Lombardi. And I read this book called Commitment to Excellence by Vince Lombardi. And in the book, Lombardi talked about the first time he spoke before his Green Bay Packer team in a locker room. There were perennial losers. And I'm reading this, and Lombardi said, he was thinking, should it be a long talk, a short talk? But he wanted to be emotional. He said, be brief. And this is what he did. He normally you get in a locker room, I don't know, 25 minutes, a half hour before the team takes the field. You do your little X and O's, and then you give the great Newt Rockne talk. We all do. Speech number 84. You pull them right out. You get ready. Get your squad ready. Well, this is the first one I ever gave. And I read this thing, Lombardi, what he said was, he didn't go in. He waited. His team was wondering, where is he? Where is this great coach? He's not there. 10 minutes. He's still not there. 3 minutes before to take the field, Lombardi comes in, bangs the door open. And I think you all remember what great presence he had, right? Great presence. And he walked in, and he just walked back and forth like this, just staring at the players. And he said, all eyes on me. And I'm reading this in this book, and I'm getting a picture of this Lombardi before his first game. And he said, gentlemen, we will be successful this year. You can focus on three things and three things only: your family, your religion, and the Green Bay Packers. And he like that. And the rest of it, they knocked the walls down. The rest was history. I said, that's beautiful. I'm going to do that. Your family, your religion, and Rutgers basketball. That's it. I had it. I'm 21 years old. The kids I'm coaching are 19. All right? And I'm going to be the greatest coach in the world, the next Lombardi. And I'm ready. And I'm practicing out in a right beside the locker room. The manager's telling me, you got to go in. Not yet. Family, religion, Rutgers basketball. All eyes on me. I got it. And now finally he said, 3 minutes. I said, fine. True story. I go to knock the doors open, just like Lombardi. Boom! He didn't open. I almost broke my arm. I was like, you know, it was when it didn't open. Now I'm down. The players are looking. You know, coach, help the coach up. Help him up. You know? And now I did like Lombardi. I walked back and forth. right? And I was going like that with my arm, get the feeling back in it. And finally I said, gentlemen, all eyes on me. And these kids wanted to play. They're 19. Let's go. I said, gentlemen, we'll be successful this year if you can focus on three things and three things only.
They said, yeah.
Said, your family, your religion, and the Green Bay Packers, I told them. I did that. I remember that. I remember where I came from. It's so important to know where you are. And I know where I am right now. How do you go from where you are to where you want to be? And I think you have to have an enthusiasm for life. You have to have a dream, a goal, and you have to be willing to work for it. I talked about my family. My family is so important. People think I have courage. The courage of my family is my wife, Pam, my three daughters here, Nicole, Jamie, Leanne, my mom, who is right here too. And that screen is flashing up there 30 seconds. Like, I care about that screen right now, huh? I got tumors all over my body. I'm worried about some guy in the back going 30 seconds, huh? You got a lot. Hey, phenomenal, buddy. You got a lot. All right, get this. Are you kidding me? I just got one last thing. I urge all of you, to enjoy your life, the precious moments you have, to spend each day with some laughter and some thought, to get your emotions going, to be enthusiastic every day. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said, nothing great can be accomplished without enthusiasm, to keep your dreams alive in spite of problems, whatever you have, to be able to work hard for your dreams to come true, become a reality. Now I look at where I am now, and I know what I want to do. What I would like to be able to do is to spend whatever time I have left and to give and maybe some hope to others. All right? Arthur Ashe Foundation is a wonderful thing. And AIDS, the amount of money pouring in for AIDS is not enough, but it is significant. But if I told you it's 10 times the amount that goes in for cancer research, I also tell you that 500,000 people will die this year of cancer. And I also tell you that one in every four will be afflicted with this disease. And yet, for somehow, we seem to have put it in a little bit of the background. I want to bring it back on the front table. We need your help. I need your help. We need money for research. It may not save my life. It may save my children's lives. It may save someone you love. And it's very important. And ESPN has been so kind to support me in this endeavor. And allow me to announce tonight that with ESPN's support, which means what? Their money and their dollars, and they're helping me. We are starting the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research. And its motto is, don't give up. Don't ever give up. And that's what I'm going to try to do. Every minute that I have left, I will thank God for the day and the moment I have. And if you see me, smile and maybe give me a hug, because that's important to me too. But try, if you can, to support, whether it's AIDS or the Cancer Foundation, so that someone else might survive, might prosper, and might actually be cured of this dreaded disease. I can't thank ESPN enough for allowing this to happen, and I'm going to work as hard as I can, you know, for cancer research, and hopefully maybe we'll have some cures and some breakthroughs. And I'd like to think I'm going to fight my brains out to be back here again next year for the Arthur Ashe recipient. I want to give it next year. I know I've got to go. I've got to go. And I've got one last thing. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind. It cannot touch my heart. And it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever. I thank you, and God bless you all.
magnificent speech 31 years ago at the 1993 ESPYs. Jim Valvano and his home team, Brandon Leak and Gabe Neitzel here on Amber and Ian. And Gabe, some speeches are for a season and some are everlasting. And that certainly is a speech that is everlasting on this planet.
If you're ever having a bad day, just go watch that speech and think about the meaning. Again, the whole laugh, think, cry kind of mantra that he has of that speech, I think is such a powerful message that Jimmy V left 31 years ago. And it's just such a spectacular speech. And I'm glad we get to hear it every year when we get around the ESPYs.
Well, we have a chance now to see if this will be the year that someone new signs up. You can always make a donation and help support the legacy of Jim Valvano and of Stuart Scott. If you go to v.org/Stuart, 100% of your donation will go to cancer research. Coming up, we will tell you why your team won't win the Super Bowl. He is Gabe Neitzel. I'm home team Brandon Leak. In for Amber and Ian. This is ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up. And that's what I'm going to try to do. Every minute that I have left, I will thank God for the day and the moment I have.
This is ESPY Day at ESPN. If you're able, please join us today in supporting the V Foundation for Cancer Research. 100% of your donation goes directly to game-changing cancer research. Go to v.org/donate now.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
Ah, fall Saturdays. The air is crisp. The game is on. Your friends are here, and you're outside on grill duty. The Home Depot knows missing the game is not an option. Thankfully, the Traeger Timberline XL Grill is here to help you play defense and make the most of every Saturday. First up, we've got fans to feed, and the Timberline XL is a real crowd pleaser. It can bake, smoke, sear, fry, and saute, so you can feed everyone at the watch party. Whether you want sweet, tangy ribs, jalapeno poppers with a smoky kick, grilled street corn, or some classic buffalo wings, this utility player can do it all. And with Wi-Fire tech and the Traeger app, you can monitor your smoker temp, meat probes, and pellet levels all from the comfort of your couch. So you can watch the game, not the grill, and never miss a moment. Defend your game time with Traeger and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
ESPY Day. You're on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. He's Gabe Neitzel. I'm home team Brandon Leak in for Amber and Ian. And we want to remind you, in honor of the 10th anniversary of Stuart Scott's unforgettable ESPY speech, all donations to the V Foundation now through the ESPYs will support the Stuart Scott Memorial Cancer Research Fund, and you can support Stuart Scott's legacy at v.org/Stuart. 100% of your donation goes to cancer research. We'll get into a little bit of football conversation as one that has been rolling along here on Amber and Ian will continue right now as we get into why your team won't win the Super Bowl.
Why your team won't win the Super Bowl.
Oh, no! We suck again! Again!
With Amber and Ian.
There's a chance we won't win?
The Green Bay Packers.
I feel a little dirty, Gabe, because I know working tonight, this can't be just by happenstance. But you, being in Milwaukee, certainly with your feet and nose to the ground about all things Packers, now we have to continue what goes on here at Amber and Ian, which is why your team, the Packers, won't win the Super Bowl. And I'll start off right now. I think it will be first and foremost why every team wins the Super Bowl, because they have exceptional quarterback play. And I don't think the Green Bay Packers are going to have exceptional quarterback play. Jordan Love had 12 touchdowns and 8 interceptions at one point, and your GM was asked what was going on, and he said, we have about 10 games left before he would make a decision, is what he intimated. And the rest of the way, we saw 20 touchdowns and 3 picks. I don't know if we get that kind of exceptional play, and I think the conference and defensive coordinators figure out Jordan Love. So that's one reason why the Packers won't win the Super Bowl. 2, I think that the Lions are just better. And 3, I think middle-of-the-road defense is not good enough and wasn't good enough, and I don't know if what you guys did in the draft right now, could take a couple of years, but right now is enough to take you from 17th to a top 10 defense. So figuring out your quarterback, the Lions being better, and a middle-of-the-road defense, those are the reasons why the Green Bay Packers won't win the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think you're crazy about Jordan Love. Like, he is going to be a very good quarterback. Now, is he going to do 20 touchdowns to just 3 interceptions? Is that going to be the ratio? Is he going to sustain that over 17 games? No. But I think he figured something out. And I think that, more importantly, Matt LaFleur, their head coach, figured something out. And those two have a really great working relationship. The issue with the Packers is they still have growth. They still have growing that they need to do. And we saw a lot of growth from one of the youngest rosters in the NFL last year in the second half of the season. But you mentioned the Lions being better. Well, in terms of the NFC North, yes, I think the Lions should be the favorite. They are the favorite. The Packers, though, did beat them on Thanksgiving in Detroit en route to a playoff berth later in the year. The problem with the Packers is they still need other players to step up. First, offensively, they have an array of 4 to 5 young wide receivers, but nobody's really established themselves yet as that clear number one. And I think that's going to be important when you take a look at all these other teams in, you know, that are in Super Bowl contention, whether it's the Chiefs, the 49ers, the Ravens, the Lions, the Cowboys. All these teams have clear-cut, defined roles for a lot of their players. The Packers are still growing. I think there's going to be growing pains still trying to figure out who that top receiver is going to be, who they're going to end up getting paid. And I think you're onto something, home team, when it comes to the Packers defense. I don't think that year one of a new defensive coordinator and Jeff Hafley, that they are going to hit the ground running and suddenly have this defense that will be good enough to navigate the NFC and make it all the way to a Super Bowl. I've got a lot of questions about their defense. They're paying some guys like Jaire Alexander, who was suspended last year for a game after going out on the field and making himself a captain, even though he wasn't designated a captain. Against the Carolina Panthers, they're paying him. He needs to regain his all-pro cornerback form. And they are paying Rashawn Gary, who has yet to have a double-digit sack season. They need guys to step up on that defense, and they have to do it while performing in an all-new defense. I think, especially when you take a look early, they're going to be going up against a quarterback that puts a lot of stress on defenses, and Jalen Hurts with his ability to run. I think there are going to be some bumps in the road with that defense along the way. Again, it's going to take them some time with the youth that they have. You mentioned the draft picks that they're going to have to grow into, and the growing pains exist this year. Now, I think next year is when that Super Bowl window starts opening for the Green Bay Packers. This year still seems too soon for, which is, once again, one of the youngest rosters in the NFL, as they have, catch this, home team, one player over the age of 30 on the roster currently.
And that's in part why I feel dirty, because everything is middle of the road. You have to be exceptional somewhere, and usually you need to be exceptional in both places, in offense and defense. You need to be hovering around top 5, top 10 in offense, and top 5, top 10 somewhere in defense. And the Packers, I like Jordan Love, but when you talk about not having a number one bona fide, he's going to finish in the top 5 in receiving yards or touchdowns, wide receiver. And in your defense, middle of the road, young, but has some really good players on it. I think the time could come. I don't think the time will come this year. And then, you know, what is Jordan Love going to be out of the gate? He was absolutely sensational to watch. He was fun to watch. He clearly galvanized that offense and got guys to believe in him. The question will be, how special will he be able to be for 17 weeks, not just for the final ride of the regular season when you're trying to make a wild card?
I think a part of that was Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur had the training wheels on him and then decided, as he said, hey, we got to let it rip. We got to throw this kid in the deep end, and that's when the Packers had a lot of success. I think Matt LaFleur is one of the underrated coaches of the league. He doesn't get the credit I think he deserves for having Aaron Rodgers perform in back-to-back MVP seasons. The reason why he was brought in was to get Aaron Rodgers back to that form, and then when he got Aaron Rodgers back to that form, he didn't get the credit. Then he gets Jordan Love to perform the way that he did. LaFleur and his offense are spectacular. I think that's not going to be the issue. I think it's going to be the defense that holds back the Packers in 2024.
All right, coming up, should Commissioner Rob Manfred force players to participate in the All-Star Game festivities? It's Aber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
How do you go from where you are to where you want to be? And I think you have to have an enthusiasm for life. You have to have a dream, a goal. You have to be willing to work for it.
This is ESPY Day at ESPN. If you're able, please join us today in supporting the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Go to V.org/donate now.